Hey, brilliant business moms. I'm Bethann Schwamberger, and it is a beautiful fall day here in Pittsburgh. I'm up for a visit. Super excited to be here. So today I am going to dig in a little bit more into guest posting, which Amy Lynn Andrew just discussed on episode 50. She gave us some awesome tips, but I want to dig into that a little bit more and encourage all of you to jump on board the guest posting train because it's really a great strategy for growing your online presence. So without further ado, let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Okay, so today on the show, I'm going to share with you 10 best practices for guest posting. And I'm sharing this with a caveat, which is I am not a guest posting expert, not at all, not even a little bit. Guest posting is something that Sarah and I have had on our list to do for a long time. And to be honest, we keep pushing it to the back burner. We keep putting it off. I think part of it's, you know, that fear of rejection. That's never good. I mean, you kind of get over that when you're an entrepreneur, but you still, you know, you don't want to get rejected more than you have to, I guess you could say. Part of it's that, and part of it's just feeling nervous about whether we really have the time to, you know, spend 10 hours on an amazing guest post, because you know, we know if we do submit a guest post, we want it to be incredible. We want it to really knock that blogger off her socks. So that's another part of it. But you know, after talking with Amy Lynn Andrews and feeling more equipped to really guest post successfully and make the most of those opportunities, it's something that Sarah and I are going to make a commitment to. We're going to get out there and submit our guest posts. And so with that being said, I'm not talking to you today from the perspective of an expert, a guru, anything like that. And if you've listened to our show before, chances are you know we never are approaching you as experts or gurus. We're just figuring this whole thing out right alongside you guys. So the main point of this podcast is really to take all of the best advice that I've gathered from Amy Lynn Andrews and some other well-known bloggers and experts, people who really do know what they're talking about, to gather those all up and kind of compile them into what I think are the 10 tips you really need to remember, and really just to challenge you guys to take action on this. And for those of you who are part of our 52 Weeks to a Better Business, I'm sure you know what's coming up. We will have a challenge for you coming up, which would be to submit a guest post somewhere. And I hope that after listening to this podcast or checking out the show notes, that you're just feeling completely prepared for this process and just ready to be successful. So I know that's how I'm feeling. I'm excited to jump in and do this. I'm so excited to hopefully a year from now, you know, share an update on this podcast and say, hey, we've had 50 guest posts, you know, in a year. And, you know, here are the results. So at any rate, let's get started. Here are the 10 best practices for guest posting. First one, very basic. You're going to roll your eyes, but guys, seriously, this is so important. And the more I'm looking around to see where we want to guest post, the more I realize how much this matters. And that first tip is to read the requirements. Most blogs will have a guest posting requirements type of page. If they don't, email them, ask them for it before you even start coming up with those ideas and submissions. You need to look at the requirements because, you know, for example, we looked at moneysavingmom.com, her website, and she has some very specific requirements for guest post submissions. For example, she wants them all to be 750 words or less. Now, you can contrast this with a site like smartpassiveincome.com, and when Pat Flynn has a guest post, oftentimes they are thousands of words long. He loves for his guest bloggers to write very comprehensive, very detailed step-by-step posts. So it's a totally different feel. So you really need to be aware of those requirements. And then Crystal Payne also shares that, you know, using bullet points and lists, using very short paragraphs, she loves all of those things. So at any rate, the requirements really matter. And the other thing too is maybe you'll get to the requirements and realize, oh, this blog isn't actually accepting guest post submissions right now. And if that's the case, don't waste your time. There are plenty of blogs who are accepting submissions and, you know, just check back later. So that's another reason why those requirements are just so important. Okay, the second best practice is understanding that timing is everything. So what I mean by this is, if you follow that blogger on social media, which you should be, and you see that they're actually looking for guest post submissions, that is the perfect opportunity for you. They are going to be way more likely to open your email with your ideas and your suggestions and actually read and potentially accept you. Another thing is, even if you don't see them actually putting out a request for guest posts, if you happen to know that perhaps they're having a new baby soon, or they're traveling abroad, or there's a major surgery coming up, something like that, this is also a prime opportunity for you to say, hey, I know you're really busy with some big life changes coming up, so I had a few guest post ideas for you. What do you think? Then the other way that timing can be so important is if they actually share any of your content or mention you on social media or their blog. Now, I know this might seem far-fetched. You're thinking, like, Crystal Payne isn't going to mention me on Money Saving Mom. Like, what are you talking about, Beth Ann? But to actually give a very specific example of this, Amy Lynn Andrews, who was just on our show, you know, this week, we had our eyes on her for a while, I suppose you could say. She was someone that we really admired. We love her blog. We love the content she was putting out every week. But we felt really intimidated. Like, she's not going to want to be on our show. She's way too big for us. I'm sure she doesn't have time. So we were kind of like self-selecting ourselves out of interviewing her, even though we would have loved to do it. Then all of a sudden, one of our listeners sends us an email and says, Amy Lynn Andrews put you in her newsletter. She shared, you know, one of the tips that Haley Morgan shared on your podcast, and she put it in the newsletter. Oh my goodness. And so then at that point, after we realized that we were actually on Amy Lynn Andrews' radar, you know, that she had listened to a podcast episode, that she had heard of us, that was the perfect opportunity for us to go and say, all right, that's it. She knows about us. She's aware of us. She shared us with her subscribers, which is crazy cool. And so we took that chance that same day, wrote an email to her and said, hey, Amy, we've been reading you for a while. We love your stuff. We cannot believe you shared us in your email. That's amazing. Thank you so much. And we'd love to have you on the show. And then we, you know, went through and outlined, you know, some different things we wanted to chat with her about on our show. So obviously this is a little bit different. That was getting her on a podcast interview, not us submitting a guest post, but the same principle applies, is that, you know, if you're on someone's radar, bam, seize that opportunity, take that chance to get in touch with them for a guest post. And the same might even be true if you just left a really thoughtful comment on their blog post and they actually take the time to write back and they write something really thoughtful and meaningful back. That's also a great chance for you to then just, bam, right away, shoot them an email and say, hey, I love your blog, been reading it for a while. I have these three ideas for a guest post, these three topics, and include little summaries and say, what do you think? I think they would really resonate with your readers, but what do you think about these? The third tip is, don't underestimate fit. Your personal style in terms of writing, in terms of your brand, in terms of how you put yourself out there, that's a huge part of who you are in your business. And you want to make sure that that blog you want to guest post on has a similar fit. So by this point, I mean, the niche matters. Like, of course, Sarah and I don't really want to go guest post on a home decorating blog because, I mean, we're all about moms who have businesses on the side. So that wouldn't necessarily be a very good fit. So yes, pick a niche that fits. Like, you know, for us, that's small business stuff, mom blogger type of stuff, work at home mom, those types of things, or maybe social media advice, podcasting sites. Pick the right niche, but you have to take it one step further and pick a blog that you really resonate with, because that is so important. Because chances are, if you love reading that blog and you love the content they put out and you really connect with that blogger, her readers are probably a lot like you and like the people that would be attracted to the content you put out. So I think that's really important. And we actually, one of our brilliant business moms that's part of 52 Weeks to a Better Business had shared how she recently had a guest post accepted on scarymommy.com. And she said that, you know, a big part of getting accepted was the fact that she loved that blog. She felt like the style of it really fit with her. So for her, submitting that guest post wasn't this huge stretch. She wasn't having to change herself or change her writing style to fit someone else. It was just really a great fit already. And again, the other reason why this matters is not just so your guest post is more likely to be accepted, but also because one of your main goals should be that you want new readers to pop on over to your site and check you out. And there's a much better chance of that happening if you just mesh really well with that blog. Okay, so the fourth best practice for guest posting, this is another really basic one, but guys, we do this all the time, don't we? We select ourselves out of incredible opportunities. So the fourth tip, or the fourth best practice, is ask them. The blogger that you're trying to reach out to and guest post with, they will never know that you are interested in doing that unless you ask them. It really is that simple. Now, sure, you might get a lot of no's, and if you don't take the time to build a bit of a relationship with the blogger first, be it, you know, commenting on their site, liking and sharing things on social media for them, you know, all of that really, really helps. But at the end of the day, you could do all of that and you still won't get a guest posting opportunity unless you simply reach out and ask them. So go for it. Seriously, what do you have to lose? Not much. And the other tip I have that goes along with this, though, is, and which I know this is something that has really held Sarah and I back from submitting more guest posts, is we assume that we need to have the whole guest post written up before we submit it. And I think that that's a really backwards way of thinking about this. Now, granted, if for some reason in their guest post requirements it says, don't give me pitches, just submit the full post, that's all I want to see, then fine, make sure you submit a full post. But in a lot of cases, it's actually more helpful for both you and that blogger if you simply submit three different ideas to them, three different pitches. Now, they shouldn't be general shot in the dark type of things. They need to be specific. You need to have that compelling title ready to go on your pitch. So you have three different really great titles there. And then you'll have a summary underneath that talks about what you're going to outline in that blog post. But the great thing about this is, you know, hopefully you spent maybe 30 minutes coming up with those three pitches versus 10 hours like honing and perfecting that killer blog post. So it's going to save you time, and it also gives that blogger the chance to choose the post that really is the best fit for their audience at that moment in time, which is really important too, because, you know, they're putting new stuff out there all the time. Maybe someone just guest posted on Pinterest marketing last week or something, and so your article on Pinterest is just going to be, it's going to seem a little stale even if it was a new perspective. So again, just ask them and give them three options to choose from with some killer titles and summaries before you send them the full article. And this was actually a tip that I got from Kate Erickson of Entrepreneur on Fire. She recently did a blog post all about best practices on guest posting, and I really loved what she said about doing the three pitch ideas rather than the full post. And I'll link to her blog post in the show notes, of course, but I think that perspective makes a lot of sense, and I think it's going to give you the ammo you need to really put yourself out there rather than spending 10 hours on a post that never gets accepted. And then, of course, you're going to be feeling so defeated and so disappointed that you spent all this time and accepted. So why would you ever want to put yourself out there and try to guest post again? I mean, I know I wouldn't. And then the other thing too is if you've spent 10 hours on a blog post, chances are you're going to want to use it. But if you've spent all that time fashioning it just for that one blog's audience, it's going to feel a bit repurposed and recycled when you try to reuse it. So again, just avoid that altogether and send some really compelling pitches first and get that relationship going, and then submit the killer guest post when they say yes, they're ready for that. Best practice number 5 is be helpful. Of course, like, isn't this what we're always trying to do? No matter what kind of content you're putting out, you want to be helpful. You don't want to just put more fluff out into the world. As you're writing your post, think about the ways that the information you're sharing, the advice you're giving, could actually change someone's life. And I don't mean, you know, groundbreaking, my life is never the same. It doesn't have to be like that. But at the same time, if you're, let's say you are guest posting on Money Saving Mom and you're sharing on how to save money on a given topic, the goal here is to be helpful. The goal here is that someone could read through that post, follow your advice, and cha-ching, they're actually saving money. So you really, really, really need to keep this in mind as you're writing your post. How can you be really helpful and not just throw more information onto the internet? And another way here and to be really helpful is, you know, if you're obviously very familiar with that blog, you know the content they put out, you might have noticed that they did an amazing article about Facebook marketing tips, and it was so good, and you loved all their advice. It was so helpful, but there was this hole. There was some missing information that they could have included, or, you know, an extra spin on that Facebook marketing that you think would also be super valuable. So filling in those gaps for the blogger is a fabulous way to just be super helpful. Best practice number 6, give them your best work. Seriously. It needs to be your best. However much time you spend on your own blog post, I would spend twice as much time at least on that guest post, because this is so important. You want to build relationships. This is not about throwing 100 random guest posts out into the blogosphere and crossing your fingers for good results. This is a thoughtful process. It's an intentional thing. So yes, you want to give them your best work. You want to feel like you just created this beautiful little masterpiece and you almost can't even stand apart with it. It's like, oh, it's my baby. It's my work of art. That's how you should feel when you guest post. I mean, really. Because the thing is, if you follow the rest of the best practices I'm going to outline below, giving away your best work is not a bad idea. It's a great idea and it will bring you new readers, a new audience, help you build relationships. So seriously, do it. Just do it. Give them your best. Okay, best practice number 7 is links. And there are right ways and wrong ways to do links when you guest post. The wrong way would be including all these links back to your own site within the body of the post. And Amy Lynn Andrews actually says in episode 50, you know, don't include any links back to your own site within the body of the post. Like, you don't want to do that unless they specifically ask for it. She says, you know, be very careful about this. But here's where you could really knock the socks off of that blogger where you're guest posting. Link to their own content within your guest post. When you can do that and it just meshes seamlessly, like in the example I just gave where you're kind of filling in that gap on Facebook marketing, for example. So you can give a little blurb where it links back to, you know, Crystal talked about this, da 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 da, and then, like, you know, go into the things that you're talking about. So that is a way to really earn some brownie points with the blogger, because one, it shows them that you read their blog, you know their content, you know where your content fits in to the mix of what they have to offer. And two, internal links are great for any blog. Those just continue to give that blog validity in Google's eyes. So internal links are great. Best practice number 8, promote that guest post. Share on your social media that, hey, I guest posted today over on Amy Lynn Andrews' blog, or you can write a little blurb on your blog about it and link over, and that's a great idea because you're giving their blog more link juice, but absolutely do not repost that whole blog post. You just want to give a little teaser and say, hey, I posted over here, go check it out. So yes, do your very best to promote that guest post as much as you possibly can, because as much as you would like to gather some new readers for your own blog, if you can bring new readers to their blog, that will knock their socks off. That will be awesome. So do it. I feel like I'm talking to my preschooler in this episode. Like I'm just giving you these 10 rules you have to follow. Do it. Just do it. Because I said so. So hopefully you don't feel that way. This is as much talking to myself as I am to any of you guys. I'm just telling myself, do it, Beth Ann. You need to get this done. Best practice number 9. And this was the most incredible advice from Amy Lynn Andrews. I just had to reiterate it here in case you missed it, because this is so crucial. I feel like this will make or break whether that guest post opportunity was successful or not. And that best practice is creating a landing page for those new visitors that's just for them. So, because here's what I'll see sometimes. Someone will guest post on a blog and you'll click and it'll take you just, you'll click, you know, in their bio, it'll take you just over to the homepage of their blog. And so maybe on their homepage, depending on when you are there, if you, you know, see the post the same day, you click over, they might have a little post that says, hey, welcome, Modern Mrs. Darcy readers. I posted over there today, blah, blah, blah. If you're new here, you know, here's some things you might want to check out, which is okay. But here's the thing. Not everyone who's visiting your blog that day came over because of your guest post. So if they found you another way, perhaps they just happened to be a loyal reader of yours, or they, you know, saw something you put on Facebook, whatever the case is, found you through Google, then having that thing about, you know, oh, I posted on Modern Mrs. Darcy, it can be a little bit alienating because they're looking at it going, well, I didn't find you that way. Why are you acting like I did? You know what I mean? It feels a little bit confusing. But if you create a completely separate landing page on your blog that is just for those readers, so as in your bio on that guest post, you'll say, Sarah and Beth Ann, podcast and blog about stay-at-home moms who are earning an income while spending time with their kids, da 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 da, something with a link. So we will want that link to go to the special landing page. And then from there, we can say without reservation, because we know the only way they found that landing page was from our bio from the guest post. So we can say without reservation, welcome, Modern Mrs. Darcy readers. We're so pleased to have you here today. And then, as Amy Lynn suggested, you want to be their tour guide. Most likely, they're brand new to your site. So you want to say, hey, if you're new here, here are some articles I think you might be really interested in. And of course, you know, try to relate them to that topic you guest posted on. And also try to, you know, show off your best stuff. So maybe have a collection of 5 different posts or podcast episodes or whatever that, you know, you can take them to so they can know kind of where to start as a new visitor to your site. And then on that page, you could also include a fabulous freebie that would compel them to be part of your email list that's really, really related to what you just guest posted on. So rather than just include your general freebie there, like maybe you usually do a free chapter of your ebook, or you generally do, like we have one that's, you know, 8 apps that work at home moms are using to be more productive. Well, if you just guest posted on, I'll just use that Facebook marketing, for example, well, then you want your freebie right there to be 5 free tools to streamline your Facebook marketing, something like that. But again, as Amy Lynn described in episode 50, make this flow. You know, invite them in as a friend. Don't be salesy. Just obviously put the offer there. Of course, you want them to know about your great freebie, but include a lot of other great content on that landing page as well that helps them get around your site and get to know you better and isn't just, give me your email right now. You know, that's obviously, that's not going to go over well. So I really thought that was the most amazing tip I'd ever heard on guest posting from Amy Lynn Andrews. That was amazing. Thank you so much for that, Amy. And so then the 10th best practice for guest posting is to have a quick and compelling bio. And this is another one where Crystal Payne actually had a specific requirement for guest posting, which is your bio needs to be 50 words or less. So there you go. And then Amy Lynn also says on her blog, do you really want to read, you know, paragraphs on this person, or do you just want to kind of get a brief intro, but one that's really interesting? Like, I'm intrigued. I want to get to know this person more. So try to just make it, you know, even two sentences. If you can do a great bio in two sentences, then do it. And again, that quick compelling bio, that's the way people will click over to your site and potentially become new readers of yours and be interested in other things you have to say. So those are the 10 best practices for guest posting. Let me run down them real quick for you. 1, read the requirements. 2, timing is everything. 3, don't underestimate your fit with the blog. 4, ask them. 5, be insanely helpful. 6, give them your very best work. 7, linking. Don't link to yourself, link to their other blog posts. 8, promote that guest post like crazy. 9, create a landing page just for them. And 10, have a quick, compelling bio. All right, brilliant business moms, I hope this was helpful to you. And I hope you know that I am preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you. And I'm so glad we have 52 weeks to a better business so that I get the kick in the pants that I need to finally submit some guest posts. So I can't wait to share those results with you all. So if you want to grab the show notes and the links mentioned here, as well as some other great resources on guest posting best practices, you can head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/51. That's all I've got for you today. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.